The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Good morning. Welcome to The Bigger Picture. We are tracking what's happening in Hong Kong with the impact from the street protests. Also looking at the surge in oil prices and the headwinds we are seeing in the semiconductor chip industry. And to help us with The Bigger Picture, we have with us Michael Avery. He is the Asia Pacific Head for Financial Markets Research at Rabobank. He is speaking to us from Hong Kong. Morning, Michael. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. Yourself?
I'm doing great. Michael, so good to hear from you again. We want to get your thoughts on what's happening in Hong Kong. And of course, you've seen so much over the past week, the protests, the surge in interbank rates in Hong Kong. What's your take in the market reaction so far? Do you think it's spooking investors, and do you think there's been an overreaction in the market so far?
No, if anything, there's been an underreaction, because in the short term, the damage was always going to be limited. You know, closing a road or a few roads for a day or two doesn't really disrupt the economy more than the marginal amount. But everyone understands that isn't what this is about. It's about what the future of Hong Kong is going to be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not me saying it. It's people far better placed than myself to understand the other dynamics, saying that if this legislation goes through, it is an existential threat to what Hong Kong is and what Hong Kong represents. And you have to be extremely optimistic to think that with that particular piece of legislation in the backdrop, that Hong Kong can maintain the position that it currently holds as a regional financial centre.
Indeed. So talk to us about how you see things panning out. One interesting scenario you have outlined is that the US could remove recognition of Hong Kong's special status. Walk us through what that impact would be and how likely is this right now?
That is very much a threat. The US themselves are the ones who have raised that red flag. It would be basically the nuclear option. In terms of how it would play out, everyone's scratching their heads and trying to war game it, because it isn't like putting up 25% tariffs and suddenly understanding, you know, what the economic effects of that would be. It's a very dynamic, moving picture. But certainly what you would see is, on that basis, American firms would think, well, why are we based here at all? So the American Chamber of Commerce would be saying to people, okay, probably time to leave. That, of course, would have a knock-on effect on many other businesses. But most damaging would be, number one, the trade front, where Hong Kong exports to the US would obviously have tariffs put on them too, and that damages Hong Kong port. But more importantly than that, from the financial side, you know, getting access to the US dollar, which the Hong Kong currency obviously is pegged to, would not be so easy if the US is openly antagonistic to you as a location rather than seeing you as in part of the Western camp. So, you know, the free movement of capital into Hong Kong on the dollar front could potentially be at risk. And therefore, you know, at some point, you could see a risk to the Hong Kong dollar peg too. So fundamentally, everything could change with that US decision. Not in 24 hours, but, you know, the beginnings of the snowball rolling down and becoming an avalanche could certainly begin.
That is worrying a lot of people, especially businesses and even market analysts, who are worried they can't be too critical about China in the future if this extradition bill that gets passed. We are speaking with Michael Avery. He is the Asia Pacific Head of Financial Markets Research at Rabobank. Michael, turning our attention to what's happening with oil prices, there's been a flare up in geopolitical tensions with the what's happening in the waters. The US is blaming Iran for an attack on two oil tankers in the Gulf of Oman. What's your take on where oil prices are headed, especially some now forecasting it might hit as high as $80 per barrel?
I always like to joke that, you know, other banks have teams of like 100, 200 people whose job is to get oil forecasts wrong. And we're more efficient. We only have one guy who does the same thing, because everyone always gets oil forecasts wrong. No one knows where oil is going to go, but the situation vis-a-vis the US and Iran obviously is extremely worrying. With the US now openly accusing Iran of having attacked those two tankers, having previously accused them of attacking two others, and of firing missiles via proxies at Saudi Arabia and trying to use drones to attack oil, Saudi oil pumping facilities. You can see that both sides are upping the ante. The US is using the economic tools it's got to try and crush Iran. And Iran is desperately saying to the US, look, do you want to have, you know, another major Middle Eastern war coming up to an election year on the back of this? Because we will keep prodding a finger into you know, the oil industry around here unless you back off. That appears to be the dynamic, unless you believe there's a third party trying to instigate this and create a war, you know, to their own benefit, which some people might do on social media. But, you know, the more likely dynamic is Iran is pushing back at the US as the US uses purely economic tools against it. And the US doesn't appear to want to back off on the economic tools, and therefore Iran won't back off and trying to do more of this. And ultimately, something's going to snap. And there's an interesting parallel there between what's going on with the US and China, where again, the US is using purely economic tools. China for now has been using purely economic tools, but is raising and upping the ante against the US all the time. And again, what's going to happen? Is something going to snap? And this underlying dynamic is playing out in many different fronts at the same time.
That's right. Something to look out for, non-tariff measures and non-economic measures that might still continue to be seen. Michael, finally, just to wrap things up, we are seeing a lot of pressure on the semiconductor space. Just overnight, we heard from chipmaker giant Broadcom warning of a broad slowdown in demand and pretty much blaming that trade conflict between the US and China. And this really plays into what we're seeing in the global economic picture, things slowing down. What are you seeing in terms of the technology space, in terms of the demand recovery? Are you seeing this coming back on anytime soon?
I don't look at that particular space in detail, but if you're looking at the macro picture of the US and China having a tech cold war, you don't want to be too long tech. That's the only thing I can say.
Okay, thank you so much for your time this morning, Michael. Always great chatting with you. We've been chatting with Michael Avery. He is the Asia Pacific Head of Financial Markets Research at Rabobank. Michael, have a great weekend ahead.
Thank you, and you.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.